The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot-button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Beyond and hello and welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 789. My name is Max Scoville, and I'm joined today by my good friends Jada Griffin.
Hello.
Off in the UK, Simon Cardi.
Hello.
And somewhere between here and the UK, Taylor Lyles.
Hello.
Now, for those of you listening at home, you missed that I was wearing a PlayStation VR 2 on my head at the top of the show, but we're going to be talking about this cool new hat that Sony just released, or... yeah, it'll be out tomorrow, I guess. My hair looks dumb now. All of you have been playing a ton of this thing. You've all had a chance to go sort of heads-on with it, and I figure we could all talk about that. I have not. I've worn it on my head with it turned off, which is definitely like the...
To be fair, I spent the first 10 minutes with it, with it turned off on my head, because I was trying to get used to how it felt, and I also couldn't figure out how to turn it on because I didn't have the manual, because it was been passed around between people.
Okay, yeah.
I found the power button, and I was like, oh, okay, cool, that's how you work it. For those who haven't seen it yet, the power button's underneath the visor of the headset, and so if you don't, you know... I don't know where the power cord was on the first PSVR. It's been a minute since I looked at it and I forgot to check.
It actually was at the end of a long separate cable that you had to put in the other room, so you had to wander off and do that.
That makes sense. That tracks.
Now, before we get started, I want to give just a couple little just shout outs, housekeeping things. For starters, IGN FanFest happened this last weekend. We did a ton of really cool interviews and segments and gameplay reveals of a bunch of different stuff. But Brian and I got a chance to talk to not just... Bella Ramsey and Pedro Pascal, but also Neil Druckmann and Craig Mazin about The Last of Us, the TV show. So go check those out. There's also a bunch of like new, you know, gameplay reveal whatnots things. And then if you're looking for something to look forward to, Sony just announced that there is going to be a State of Play this Thursday, which is going to feature 15 minutes of gameplay of Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, as well as looks at some anticipated games from our third-party partners, as well as some first glimpses at 5 PlayStation VR 2 games set to arrive later this year, which is killer. I think we've been a little bit concerned about the lineup for PSVR 2, and it's good that Sony's kind of jumping on that. And let's get into this. Simon, you reviewed Call of the Mountain, which is arguably the biggest flagship title. Let's talk about that. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I gave it a 7 out of 10. Means it's good. I had a good time with it. It just wasn't quite, you know, for me, the system seller I think it needed to be and should be. Like, I'm a big Horizon fan. I know it's not everyone's necessarily favorite PlayStation franchise, but it's one of mine. And in some ways, it's perfect for VR, but in other ways, really not the perfect game for VR. Like, the pure spectacle of the machines in Horizon, like, are perfect in VR to, like, just look at the first time you see them, like, it's like genuinely one of those moments where it's like, wow, like it sounds stupid, but I generally thought, wow, that's quite big when I saw a tall neck. I don't know if anyone's ever seen one before. They're quite big. But yeah, and the archery feels good. But then like the part of what I love about Horizon is exploring this like dense open world and all the side stories, which is exactly not what you're getting in this. You're getting much more of a linear, for 70% of it to 80% of it, essentially a climbing game, which I know a lot of people do enjoy in VR. There's the climb games, which are some of the best early VR games that people enjoyed. And the climbing in it does feel fantastic. Mm. It generally does feel like I'm exhausting, I might add, in longer sessions to climb these actual mountains. But it's not necessarily what I wanted from a Horizon game, which is kind of... it was always going to be hard to translate directly, but I do think they kind of half-nailed the combat and the look of it But yeah, most of the game, sadly, was a little bit monotonous. I don't know if anyone else has got a chance to try it out.
Cardi, did you play with... I played a little bit of it this morning. Did you play with the gesture controls or the stick controls for movement?
So I kind of moved in between them. So at first I went with the sticks just because that felt, you know, that's how I play all my games. That the movement to that felt natural. But that was after about 15 minutes making me feel quite nauseous. Like I was getting, I don't normally get motion sickness in VR, but that for some reason, I don't know if it was just the sheer verticality of this game that was doing that. But so I moved to the gesture mode, which if you don't know what that is, it's you hold in two buttons and then kind of feign a walking motion in the direction you want to walk and you'll move in that direction. Hold in one of those buttons on the controller and move left or right with it and you'll look left or right. And once I got used to that, I found it much more welcoming and I enjoyed it quite a lot. I will say definitely better for the climbing and exploration sequences. In combat for me, nowhere near as good as using the sticks. So whenever I got into a combat situation, I would have to flip open the options and switch to the sticks because on the right stick, you have a quick dodge, which just makes combat a lot easier, I find. So there was kind of a middle ground to be found. And, you know, mileage is, I think, going to vary for everyone on that one.
Yeah, no, I agree. I enjoyed the gesture mode. But that combined with climbing, it was a workout. I played it for probably about an hour this morning. And I was getting a good workout having to just swing my arms back and forth to run where I wanted to go. And then let go of one to turn a direction and switch and everything. And then pulling out the boat. Like, it's a lot of stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find the maracas? Because I had a lot of fun with the maracas. Those were great.
I had some fun with those. My favorites were the with the pan pipes. I found those. If you just hold the pan pipes up to your face, they play a lovely little tune. I ended my video review of that. It's just a little Easter egg if you stuck to the end of listening to my voice for 8 minutes. You got that treat. So
nice.
Yeah, there are like lots of little details that are very nice in the game. But I think for sadly, like I wasn't, you know, I wrote in my review, I wasn't naive enough to think a game called Call of the Mountain wouldn't involve some climbing. I've seen the trailers.
Yes.
I wasn't expecting it to be this much climbing. Like you said, it's like, you know, I'm not climbing mountains every day. That's not my lifestyle. But like, especially as I had to like play this whole game in like 2 days, like it's 6 to 7 hours long. I was, yeah, my arms were hanging off at the end of my shoulders after that for a little bit.
Taylor, did you get a chance to play Call of the Mountain?
I did not get a code. Sony did not send me a code for Call of the Mountain for some
bummer.
Reason. I was a little bummed about that, but I really want to do all this climbing now.
Yeah, it's
sounds like a good workout.
It is definitely a good workout. Those of you out there that are looking to get a workout while playing VR, this is definitely a solid game for that. I agree with Cardi was saying. I only played it for about an hour this morning, but I feel like the combat is very solid. I really like the climbing. The graphics are gorgeous. Like,
yeah.
Being in that world, just that opening boat sequence, like the trailer does not do it justice. Like being able to look up and see the butt of the tall neck as it goes by, great.
I mean, that's something that nothing in VR looks good in a trailer.
Correct.
Like it's there's always going to be a layer of kind of this wonder that has to happen in the game. I feel like that Jurassic Park moment of looking up at the Brontosaurus is kind of a defining like philosophy for VR. Like
yeah.
We've had a lot of stuff where it's like, take the big thing and really make it look big. And that's like Horizon is so perfect for that. Like I could definitely see a universe where Sony's like, yeah, we're doing a first person or, you know, a VR Uncharted game. But what do you look up at? You know, like a tower.
These are definitely the best parts of the game. Like
a flying plane.
There's a whole section with a thunder jaw. That's like kind of like a cat and mouse thunder jaw section. That's like maybe in the middle of the game, like it's a good like half an hour to an hour long. And that's my favorite bit of the game. It does feel like you're kind of in Jurassic Park for a bit. And it's kind of combat mixed with climbing, mixed with like things happening around you all the time. And it really does nail that spectacle at times. And yeah, I just kind of wish there was a bit more of that and a little less of
what's
climbing.
Let's talk about the combat a little bit because it's, you know, you said it's very bow centric. There's also clearly some other projectile weapons you get in there. Is there any melee stuff?
No, there's no melee. So it's just bow and arrow, and you do get like one or two items later on. I don't want to necessarily spoil, although I think I've just shown it.
Do you get
the review?
And I noticed you do get those sort of special ammo types.
Yes, and the really cool thing about those is you actually, at first they're very cool. You get to craft them yourself. So whenever you craft an arrow, you pull up the arrow and then you attach like the elemental, like whether it's blaze or like frost, you actually attach that onto the end of the arrow and the flight. So you manually do it. The same when you like build a new piece of climbing equipment, like there's a grab caster, which you actually have to build by like winding string around the pieces of metal and wood. Like those bits are really cool, those little moments. And yeah, they've kind of nailed all those little details. It's just, for I don't want to reiterate the point, I just wish there was more of those really cool little things. And I don't know if maybe either the game was shorter or they just, I don't know. It's just, yeah.
And how long did you say that your playtime was?
Right, between 6 and 7 hours, I think. Okay. And there's some side stuff to do. There is a thing called Safari Mode, which I actually put my mum into. She's never been in VR before, and she was more amazed by her own hands than the actual dinosaurs around her, which was very funny. But that's just like a 5 minute, you sit in the boat and like you see all the machines like do things around you.
It's like the Jungle Cruise at Disneyland.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's kind of a cool thing if someone doesn't really want to play VR, they just want to sit in it, I would recommend putting them in the Safari mode.
Do they have
also like a challenge section.
I was going to ask, do they have any sort of replay value added, like arena mode? What's the challenge
collectibles
section?
There's challenges where you like hit targets. It's like more of the same stuff, like time trials, that sort of thing. But like each, like there are these legendary climbs which you do as part of the story, and then there are along each of those like sometimes like 10 or 12 like collectible targets you need to hit that you'll be like hidden around corners and stuff. So there is a bit of replayability. I might go back and revisit it once in the near future. It's just like, you know, playing it once through, already feeling quite nauseous in a short space of time. The last thing I wanted to do was do any climbing.
Were you playing it in sort of like large chunks? Were you kind of trying to mainline it?
I kind of had to, just because I was sort of short. Like it's definitely like, if you've got like half an hour, seems like a sweet spot. I find that for most VR, to be honest. But trying to play like an hour or two at a time, I was definitely both mentally and physically exhausted.
Yeah, it's funny because
ultimately
you
had a good time.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, you say like six or seven hours is like a playtime, and that's not okay for like a AAA console game. But for VR, that's beefy, and it's also, you know, it time passes differently when you are you lose track of time.
Exactly,
in VR. Yeah.
100%.
And it is definitely a game as well. Like, I think some people say it's just like, you know, like a 2-hour technical showcase experience. It is an absolute technical showcase because it is, like we said before, stunning to look at. Sounds incredible with headphones on as well. But it's also a full game. You're getting a full 6 or 7 hour game here. Whether it's a great game is another question. I think it's a good VR game. So, yeah, it's one of the better VR games I've played, but ultimately not a great Horizon game, which is why I gave it a 7.
I think it's a great example of like what's to come for PSVR to like first party Sony titles. I think this is everybody, the developers, getting their toes wet and what we're kind of expect going forward. I think we're going to get, this is kind of like the floor level, and I think it's only going to get better. I hope, at least. That is my...
Absolutely.
That's a good rule prediction. Of thumb for I think any, you know, any launch titles, any sort of starter software.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, but to Cardi's point, like, this is a solid like use of VR. It's not a just, hey, let's throw something out and because we need to put out games. Like, this, they put in some time, they put in some work into this game, and it looks gorgeous and it plays gorgeous. Did you play it seating or did you play it standing up, Cardi?
I did a bit of both. I felt like it does feel weird when you're sitting down climbing because you don't quite get that same like, yeah, kind of combat weirdly felt more suited to being seated down because you're kind of almost, you're not quite on rails, but they're all like circle arenas that you're kind of on a rail, like you go around the circumference of them. So like you're almost like sitting in like a cart going around the side and firing arrows. So you can play it seated perfectly well, I think. But like, I think with any VR for me anyway, unless it is a seated game, like we'll probably talk about one or two later, like standing does feel more appropriate, especially when your character is standing for the whole game.
Yeah.
Did you get tangled up in the cord at all?
I didn't, actually. I did very well. I attached the handy little safety straps as well, so I didn't let them go and like let the controllers fly and break anything. It was all very safe. I am impressed. I don't know if we're going to move on to talking about the actual console itself, but I am very impressed by it. Like, I'm not the world's biggest VR believer. I quite enjoyed PSVR 1, but I think it ultimately wasn't a great success. This is a much more impressive machine.
Well, that's
as we said before. That's looks stunning. Yeah,
that's a perfect segue right there. Taylor, you are quite a VR aficionado, so I figure it'd be kind of cool to hear your thoughts on PlayStation VR. And I guess, what do you think of it?
I really enjoy it. It massive improvement over the original PlayStation VR, and I was looking at it and then comparing it to my Meta Quest 2, and you know, I think personally, I think it's more comfortable to wear the PSVR 2. I like the design. It's nearly perfect. We were talking about this before we started recording, where I said this is a nearly perfect design, except for the cable. And I understand that they were going to tether this to the console regardless, but I wish they had the option where you could just take out the cable.
I agree.
And like use a different one, because you know, with the whole issue with like e-waste, and also if that cable breaks,
you're out
$550, and that this is not a cheap headset.
That's so, it's so antithetical to like Sony just put out the Edge controller, which has swappable
everything,
you know, analog sticks.
Yeah
you could buy replacement spares. That seems like, I don't know, maybe a USB-C cable should be a thing you can replace. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing, like, I understand that this is designed for the PS5, and I understand they were probably never going to make this a standalone headset. I think believing that would be very silly. I just wish that they had addressed that problem, because that was a big issue that I had with the original PlayStation VR. And again, that same theory applies to any headset where you have to tether it to a console or a PC or any of that nature. But at least they streamlined it, so I will give them credit for that, because all those other cables you needed to set up the original PlayStation VR made you feel like an AV expert.
Yeah, no, if there's a side-by-side out there somewhere of like the original what's in the box kind of breakdown versus this one, and it's like, it's something like six cables that you have to hook up. Like they literally numbered them. They had little tags on them that was like, this is cable one, this is cable three. Like you got to hook it up, you know, in this order. And yeah, I mean, it's a huge step up. I think there's a sort of unfairness that's being applied to this, because the Meta Quest is a standalone device. And there's something about that where you're like, there's something so convenient about that. It's great. It's wonderful to have that all packed into one thing. But at the same time, that does limit its technical capabilities.
Yep.
Like it's about the size of a Nintendo Switch. And I think it honestly showcases a little bit better than the Switch sometimes. But like you aren't going to have, you know, short of it being, you know, the guts of an iPhone Pro 14S Max Plus or whatever, like it's going to have its limitations, especially for, you know, $400, you know, out the door. In this case, you know, I think it's to look at this as a $550 headset compared to the Meta Quest is, you know, it makes it seem like way, you know, way marked up. But if you compare it to something like, you know, the Vive or like a connected PC headset,
Oculus Rift.
Yeah.
That's a pricey machine. And again, you can't do much with it unless you hook it up to a pricier machine. And again, like a PS5 is much cheaper than a gaming PC.
Yep.
Like it might be expensive when you compare it to, you know, on the console front, but like, you know, paying around $1,000, a little bit more for a cutting edge VR headset and a device to run it with, that's not bad. You know, you're going to be hard pressed to find a better deal than that. But again, it comes down to what you can actually do with it. And that's when the ball is in Sony's court. Now we were talking about this sort of right before the show started. Greg Miller tweeted out an email that was from, I think, some MetaQuest PR person. And it says, the headline was this PSVR 2 launch titles on Quest. And it was just like, friendly reminder, 42 out of the 49 launch window titles for PSVR 2 are already available on or are also coming to Meta Quest 2, which is just such like a little, just like a, like, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Taylor, you were kind of echoing this sentiment, because again, you've spent a ton of time with other VR headsets. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I did get that same email that Greg got as well. So when I got that, I was like, I had a feeling that something like that was going to come, or it was going to be some type of like press release or blog post, whatever of that nature. And, you know, that is one of the things that I kind of mentioned in the feature that I posted last week, where, you know, the biggest thing for PlayStation VR 2 is going to be the games. And if you look at the launch lineup, yeah, it's a pretty like extensive list. That's like 40 plus games last time I checked. But then when you really start to break down how many of these games are on the Quest 2, how many of these games are on PC VR, how many of these games are on the original PlayStation VR, or how many of them are all of them. And when I started, you know, the more I kept looking into it, I just realized, I was like, yeah, and a lot of those games I've already played. I really like, you know, What the Bat, very fun game. And, you know, but at the same time too, it's on paper, the launch list might be great for people who have never played VR, or they didn't want to commit to the original PlayStation VR, but they got the PS5 and they want to see what VR is all about because this is more accessible to them. But as someone like me who plays VR a lot, plays on my Quest 2 a lot, this launch list is a little underwhelming. And I'm really excited for the few games that PSVR 2 has at the launch that I didn't get to play Resident Evil Village at launch yet. So when that comes out tomorrow, that's the first thing I'm going to do. I'm going to wake up at the crack of dawn and play that. And Call of the Mountain, which I haven't played yet, but, you know, hearing some of the same feedback that it feels either incomplete or just doesn't, it feels like a start of a good foundation. And then there's GT7, which is just a VR mode. So I feel in the first year, in the first 2 years, Sony really needs to kind of double up and give us a lot of these system selling or just games that I can't get on any other headset, because that seems to be the issue with just the VR market as a whole, especially when you look at how many of these games that are coming out. And to Meta's credit in that regard, they're doing a very good job with their exclusive Resident Evil 4 VR, which I reviewed a couple years ago. That was really fun. I know Sony worked out like some type of deal with Capcom to get the VR mode for a remake. I'm excited to check that out. But it really comes down to how many actual VR games, not just these VR modes. The VR modes are great if they're done correctly and executed properly, but having exclusives that you can't get anywhere else is really going to determine the measure, in my opinion, the measurement of success of how those PlayStation VR 2 will be, because I didn't think the original one was very successful. I thought it was a good foundation, but it really lacked on the games.
I wasn't looking at the timing for when Greg Miller posted that email. Do you think somebody at Sony saw that and was like, okay, we got to add PSVR 2 to our showcase and announce our showcase now? Like, they're just like,
I thought Greg liked PlayStation. I thought so too. I don't think he has the passion.
Nah, I don't think so.
No, I think he's there for the meta quest. He's a big fan of that Mark Zuckerberg or whatever his name is. Anyway, I do think the sort of issue of like the PSVR 2's launch lineup being, like, we keep saying this, it would be really, really cool if this thing was compatible with PC. Like, that would do it a lot of favors. And, you know, again, it comes down to Sony's love of proprietary tech. And, again, you're like, what counts as an exclusive? But, like, that, I think, would appeal to a lot of people. Because VR is, like, one of those things that is, I feel like there's a pretty chunky Venn diagram of people who are early adopters and VR enthusiasts. Like,
I agree.
It's a cutting-edge technology. So people who are into it.
This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meat space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue. The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn, because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice? One NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married, Let's Hear Them Talk About It. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK, so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for? None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cyber criminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for 2 women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
They're into tech as a whole. And it's, I think if you were, I don't know, open to, you know, more possibility there, it would be great. Now let's talk a little bit about what we've all been playing.
Do we want to talk about any of the other PSVR games?
Yeah, let's talk about some of those. I haven't played any. Tell me what the cool ones are. Like, Jada, what did you get to play besides?
I got to play Moss Book 1 and 2. So I put about maybe 30 minutes into each of them because I didn't have time to really... I got the codes at, like, I think 6 a.m. this morning. And so I was like, all right, time to start my day with VR, 6 in the morning. And so I got to test those. Looks gorgeous. The diorama feel for Moss looks just even better in PSVR 2 than it did on PSVR. A lot of fun. And then, you know, I don't have a lot to say because I literally played it for... Mm-hmm. I played, like, the first level, the opening level of each of them. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's really great. It's gorgeous. I love the effects. I love the storybook kind of style of it. And, like... That's not what it looks like in VR. Yeah. It looks so much better. This is
one of those ones where it, like VR, you think it has to be in first person. Like it's sort of this, mm-hmm. obviously there's a level of, immersion that you get when you're playing as the thing. And there's this sort of seeing like what looks like a platformer with a really wobbly camera is kind of an odd thing, but actually playing it is an entirely different experience. And it doesn't translate until you're actually doing it. Did this like noticeably jump out at you as being like a huge step up compared to the previous versions?
For me, yes. Okay. I didn't play a lot of Moss Book 1 back on the PSVR when it came out. It was just one of those things. It just too many cables. So I was just like, I played it one night and I was like, cool, I really enjoyed this. And then I was like, I didn't have a need to plug back in all those cables. So I didn't ever finish it. So now I'm going to go right through and finish it on PSVR 2. But it does look noticeably better. I wouldn't say it's like, oh my goodness, this is PS4 to PS5 or PS3 to PS5 like difference, but it is a nice improvement. It does look better. You can see that the textures are a little more refined. The colors pop a little bit better. It's got a lot going for it. And Moss Book 2, it's a lot of the same, mm-hmm. but definitely you can see where they added more detail and such from the first one.
One of the features that the VR 2 has is the foveated rendering, where basically it directs the processing to like whatever you're looking at. Like it tracks mm-hmm. where your eyes are looking and makes it so that that area is getting extra attention from the graphics. The hamsters on those wheels are mm-hmm. turning faster, or mice, I guess, in this case. But do you notice that at all?
I didn't. Okay. I personally didn't. I haven't gotten enough time with it. Like come next week, once we have Beyond, I'm going to put a lot more time into my VR headset. I'll be able to like kind of like look for those types of things.
I mean, I think the goal is that you're not supposed to be able to catch it because if it's...
Oh, I'm going to catch it.
Okay. Yeah, you got to catch
it. I'm the cat, close to the mouse. I'm going to catch it.
Yeah. No, it's... I mean, it's like sound, it's like editing or sound design where like you're not supposed to notice it.
If it's done properly, you don't notice
exactly.
it. Correct.
But I think that is really cool. And like, that's such that kind of breaks my brain in terms of how things work. Mm. Like imagine if this got applied to like conventional console games, if we had, you know, some kind of eye tracking hooked up to our TV. This sounds a little bit dystopian, but you know, it's kind of like, I don't know,
there's a lot of games that use that kind of, like, not that exact technology, but they do that kind of in the background is after you clear an area, it stops loading those areas. If you're not looking at something...
Yeah, after you squeeze through the crack, it's...
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Yeah. Or if you're, you know, you're looking in one direction, the LOD behind you is less. They don't put as much performance into that because they don't need to because you're not looking mm-hmm. at it on screen. And when you turn around, it starts rendering that, you know, rapidly.
Yeah. Now, Taylor, what have you been playing?
I've been playing... Kayak VR because nice. I really like kayaking. And when I saw my email that I got a code for it, I said, oh yeah, let me go install this right now. And it's if you just need to like turn your brain off and just, you know, kayak around these very scenic locations, I was like, wow, I don't even have to give my passport a workout. I could just plug in my PSVR 2 and play this on my PS5 and paddle these very lush and tropical or, you know, Icelandic areas. And that is probably one of my favorite experiences. I don't know. Again, this is before I got a chance to play Resident Evil Village, and y'all know I love my Resident Evil. So this might change. But so far, this is my favorite game that I've played on PSVR 2 yet.
This looks amazing. This looks gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, I love that there are sort of different philosophies in what a PS, what a VR game could be. And some of them are like, let's take a cool vacation. And some of them are like, let's give you a panic attack. And this one is definitely in the former camp. Like, the, it's funny that you're like, I want to get murdered by a 9 foot tall woman, or I want to go, you know, kayaking with dolphins, you know, one or the other. Just go big or go home.
I still take the 9 foot tall woman.
I mean, who wouldn't? But I guess what is the gameplay for Kayak VR? Is it just, I mean, it looks like some chill paddling, but also some racing.
I haven't had a chance to play it online. I've only just been doing single player, but I believe the online mode, if I recall, it's you're just paddling with a bunch of your friends, and I think you can race. I think there's the option for that.
It's definitely racing, and it's intense.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the trailer, like, does anybody want to race me in Kayak VR?
I'll take you.
Yeah, I just went to Costa Rica.
You'll take me.
I just went to Costa Rica and sat there for a bit. I didn't even paddle. I just needed to escape.
There you go.
Yeah. If you live in Britain, you'll understand that sentiment. I just sat there for a bit and
you know what?
Had
I'm
a dream.
I'm curious if there's collision in the Kayak VR game. Like, that's one thing I want to know. Like, if you run into somebody else in VR, is there a collision? Does your headset vibrate? Because it's got the rumble feature in there.
I didn't, but when I hit a wall, it definitely did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, you can feel you're like, oh, you hit this little piece of ice.
This is so funny to me. There was a game, I assume it's probably going to show up on PSVR as well. It was a meta game that I can't remember. I want to say it's called like Stealth Ops. It's got a kind of generic sounding name, but it's got David Hayter in it. And it's kind of a solid snakey kind of game, but he actually plays the bad guy. But it's got a whole narrative thing where basically, you know, you're like doing a nighttime incursion. You're sneaking in. You're going to shoot a bunch of dudes with a silenced pistol. But you're in a kayak the whole time, which is like really funny to me. There's something like kind of night boat-esque about that, where it's just like, all right, you're paddling around in a little boat and you're going to shoot some dudes. And it's like, you know, it's like, what if like Solid Snake just like never got out of his little submarine and just wants to paddle around?
Just Navy SEALs. Yeah. Max, just Navy SEALs.
Emphasis on the SEAL. Yeah. What else have you guys been playing? Simon, you have What the Bat?
Yeah, I've been dipping in and out a few games. What the Bat is very fun. If you've played What the Golf, it's one of the better Apple Arcade games, in my opinion. I played it on Switch, actually, in the end. But basically, you're a child who has baseball bats for hands, and you have to... It starts off very simple. Hit a ball at a trophy to complete the level. But it just... If you play What the Golf, you know the sort of thing that's happening. It's going to get sillier and sillier, and you end up doing things that are nothing to do with baseball, like you see here, like just like cooking eggs and brushing your teeth. And it's not the most difficult game in the world, but it's just very... I think it's a good first VR game because you're kind of... There's a little bit of movement. You're not going to get sick. It's quite like... It's a real like showcase for how beautiful it can look, because it's just like bright colors everywhere. And yeah, I'm just... Yeah, I'm about halfway through. I think it's like 4 hours. So it's quite a bit to do in it. And yeah, I've been having a great time with that so far.
I don't know.
This reminds me of... Oh, go ahead, Jay.
No, go for it.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, when I first saw the trailer for What the Bat, it immediately reminded me of this other VR game that came out years ago called The American Dream. It was by some Australian developer. I believe it was called Samurai Punk. And the premise was basically the same, except replace the baseball bats with firearms. And I thought it was like the goofiest little thing. You're sitting here flipping hamburgers, but you're taking a shot at it. And I was like, so when I saw What the Bat, I was like, yes. I was like, I love goofy games like this. And oh yeah, we have it up right now. But it was such a silly game. But I thought it was funny. I thought like games like this, they're very short, but I think they do a very good job with kind of giving you the basics and the fundamentals of how to play VR games. Like, yeah, they're not asking for much. And I believe in the case with The American Dream, it was almost like an on rails, but it wasn't. But some sections were kind of more or less, but you were like on this roller coaster and you were just living through different points of light. Like, yeah, see, you could like shoot the can open and then just drink the beer. I just think that it's so stupid, but I thought it was the funniest thing.
There's a special kind of game that I really adore. It reminds me of like, so back in the day, you know, you'd get licensed games where like there would probably be like a half-baked game mechanic and they'd shop around and be like, yeah, it's a game where you sled around in a bunch of yards, and someone's like, it could be a Home Alone game. You're like, that doesn't happen in the movie. It doesn't matter. It's close enough. You know, it's like, okay, you know, this is that phoned in, just like kind of cash grab approach to making games, which this feels like that, but applied to regular, ordinary tasks where like, it's just, you know, job simulator is like, if you had someone who had no idea what a job was,
yeah,
trying to make a game about jobs, you know, like they don't know if this is going to be an accurate portrayal of this. And
this is like an alien coming to the planet and like they're given two guns and like, here you go, live your life. And you have to use your guns for everything in your life.
Yeah, I really want to play What the Bat. That looks like a ton of fun.
I mean, Kari, you said it didn't, you know, resemble baseball, really. But, you know, shout out to my baseball coaches for like 10 years that had me cooking eggs with bats. Like, it was just, it was challenging. But you know what? I got on base lot more.
This is 100% like a game for the art kids who were just like out in left field, just like, you know, kicking clods of dirt around and like hitting each other with the bats instead of playing actual baseball. Like, I love this so much.
Shout out to those kids out there doing like grass, snow angels in the grass.
Yeah. Just nobody wants to play sport. Like, this is for people who just go, what's a sports, you know? Like, this is what the bat
sports ball what is for sports? The sports ball for the win.
Yeah. And I, yeah.
yeah. I've been playing some other things though. Like, I think it goes to what we were saying before though, that like my two favorite games I've played on PSVR2 are probably two of my favorites from PSVR1, which says a lot, like Thumper. I don't know if anyone else played Thumper. Like,
Thumper's great.
Maybe my favorite VR game outside of Astrobot, which you can talk about why there isn't an Astrobot on this PSVR2 yet. I'm not quite sure. But
maybe we'll get one at State of Play.
We
hopefully
better
fingers
get
crossed.
One at State of Play.
But if you haven't played Thumper, it's incredible sort of like rhythm. It's a rhythm game, but it takes place in this sort of like oppressive, like Willy Wonka boat tunnel across the 2001 A Space Odyssey with the most, like I said, like oppressive, like electronic score you've ever heard, and flaming skulls everywhere. It's amazing. Like, if you have that with headphones on, like, nothing quite like got me into VR as much as that did, I think. So I remember somebody selling
me on this as being like, this is the most frightened I've ever been of noises.
Yeah, it's so good. I love it. I think this is one, I don't think it's a free upgrade, but if you do already own Thumper, I think it's a small, I'm not sure if it's like $10, $20 you can pay.
Yeah,
to
there's
upgrade
like a upgrade
PSVR
path.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Similar to Tetris, which I've also been playing, which is just, you know, everyone knows how good Tetris is. I'm not really telling anyone anything new there, but Tetris
what is this
in VR.
Tetris
Connect.
What is this Tetris?
It's about these little creatures. No, it's not. There's lots of little blocks. yeah, it's just amazing. And yeah, if you haven't played Tetris, check out Tetris, hot new game of 2023.
I mean, I remember hearing it took the world by storm. Was it on the DS or on the Switch when it went online? There was like Tetris on there. Yeah, I heard it was a big thing.
The Battle Royale one.
Yeah, yeah,
I still can't believe that was a
really
thing.
Took off,
I remember, I tried to show my brother who's like old and he doesn't care about games. He cares about them on like a very like just surface level. Like, what is the technology? What's it about? And I was like, you got to check out VR. And he's like, all right, I tried it in the 90s. It sucked. And I was like, okay, well, let's try this. And I like, again, struggled to get out all the wires and set up the PSVR and fumbled with it. And I showed him like, I like, you got to check out Tetris. It's really cool. And he's like, it's Tetris. And I was like, yeah, but it's like cool. And he's like, I don't care. And I was like, all right, we'll try. And I think I think like my camera wasn't tracking right or something. And I tried to show him like No Man's Sky. And he was like, why can't I stop looking at the ground? And I was like, you know what? Let's go up, play outside. This isn't working so hot. This is a problem.
Let's go look at the actual sky. I got a chance. I also spent a little bit of time with the Star Wars.
Tales from the Galaxy's
Edge. Tales from the Galaxy's Edge. Thank you. I'm not impressed with it so far. It's fine, but also I was playing it seating because I didn't have time to set up my whole living room space this morning. I found it really hard to grab all my tools off my belt, and I had the hardest time putting stuff in my accessory pouch. Like, I'm like grabbing items and I'm just like dropping them on the floor and then trying to grab it, but then I grab the pouch and then I have to swap hands. Like, it's, I don't know, I think it's gonna be a cool experience once I get further into it, but the first like 30-40 minutes of it was a little rough for me personally, at least in seating mode.
I played a bit of this on Quest, and I really wanted to love it because it is, I like Star Wars Tales of is a special corner of my brain. Like, I used to love the Tales of the Mos Eisley Cantina, Tales of the Bounty Hunters, all that. And like, this is clearly kind of a nod to that, but it's also, you know, it's like kind of the VR version of going to the theme park, which I still haven't done, but like, it's cute. It's like very much like this is an all ages kind of thing. And it also felt like it reminded me of like kind of the Episode One era of Star Wars games. Like, it feels like a little bit like
a little Uncanny Valley kind of to a degree when it comes to like the gameplay, not looks, but like just kind of like the experience overall.
It's just kind of like, it's kind of generic gameplay, you know, like it's not doing anything specifically notable, and it's, you know, as far as how much the Star Wars license is doing for me, it like wasn't really scratching that itch, you know?
Makes sense.
And it's interesting.
Soulless. Just call it soulless.
Oh, come on. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't get that far with it, but like it's weird because it clearly is this like new, it's this new corner of Star Wars, which is all like the Disney stuff. So as a boring old 30 something year old nostalgic man who wants to feel like an 8-year-old again, it wasn't really, you know, it wasn't really doing the thing I wanted to. I didn't have enough like kind of, you know, retro fan service or whatever, but it was, you know, it was cool. I just remember playing the first blaster shootout and being like, you know, this is okay. But this is, again, playing a whole lot of different VR games. And I was kind of like, this reminds me of like a Wii game. Like it works. It feels okay. It's fun enough, but it's kind of like, I've sort of done this before. Like it's, you know, it's.
No. Yeah. Yeah. No, I get that. That tracks, you know.
Yeah. I remember in our review, we called out that the haptics use was really cool.
I didn't get a chance to experience much of that yet. Not much has happened in that first 30 minutes. I've been kind of like struggling. As I said, I had a hard time putting items into my my pouch. So it was kind of hard to advance.
I'm like, I mean, you ever try getting your phone out of your pocket when you're sitting down? It's kind of like that.
It is. It is a little tricky.
That, the game.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe it'll be a better experience when I'll try it standing up later tonight when I get home. But yeah, definitely, you know, it has a mode for seating for playing. And so like they've made it with that option. Just didn't seem like it worked really well for me, at least on my first attempt. But like I said, 30 minutes in, so I don't want to pass full judgment yet.
Nice. Is there any other PSVR stuff we're playing that we want to call out?
That's everything I've played. The other thing I know, I had one question from the Facebook Beyond group that was asking about the cinematic mode, which is basically wearing the headset and playing either a non-VR game or watching a show. Put it on and I was playing Wild Hearts with in VR, which was kind of cool. It just kind of basically makes the screen widescreen mode, and you're just like everything else around it's just black. So if you really want to play games and ignore your kids, loved ones, or anything else like that, you could play your regular games in VR with the PSVR 2 just like that and just have your own screen to yourself.
I did a ton of sort of cinema mode with the first one.
Yeah.
Like one of my sort of fondest memories of Final Fantasy 15 had just come out when I'd gotten it. And my wife and I were both playing and we only have one TV. So I was playing with the headset on and it was really funny because it did have like a little bit of drift and I'd be playing for like hours and I suddenly realized that I was just like looking at the corner of my living room and it just turned away. And again, it was like, that was all right. It was passable. It did okay. But like, what do you notice the screen being like, better? Like, is it a good way of kind of showcasing the resolution?
Better, but it definitely, if you have a smaller TV, it looks larger.
Yeah.
So it gives you, so if you're, you know, if you're, you have like a 20-inch TV that you're playing on, you know, shout out to my 20-inch friends out there. I don't know where that was going. Either way, it's a cool use if you want to be able to, you know, play it in a bigger type of screen. I've got a 60-inch, so like for me, it doesn't make much sense for me unless I was in a single TV household. Like that, like you were for your situation. But for me, it was cool. I did like it when I put on like the Pulse headset, and it kind of like helped with the sound quality because the earbuds are okay, but I don't really, they fall out of my ears too much. I have a real hard time with the earbuds they use. And then I watched some stuff on Netflix and it looked cool. It was fine. It was a nice little widescreen movie experience.
I watched some YouTube.
Oh.
You guys ever checked out YouTube?
Good.
Did you watch YouTube?
I've heard that like in the circles around like my younger brother and all his friends, they've talked about it.
There's like 20 more than 20 videos on there. It's incredible.
Okay. I watched some footballs.
I watched some Premier League highlights. It was just like I was back in the stadium.
In all seriousness, Cardi, did you watch any of the VR YouTube? Did you mess with that at all?
Do you know what? I clicked on a couple and they weren't working like as they should. I was moving the sticks around and the video is moving, but on a flat screen.
That's
so weird. I'm not sure. I don't know if that's like the YouTube hasn't updated on the PS5 yet or something.
I honestly don't know if they have people working in that department anymore. There was this whole push when like VR first started happening, what have you, where
like mainstream sort of.
Well, they were trying to get more VR content and like IGN did this huge like VR push and we have like, there's like a short film about like shooting guns or something. Like we did this whole like crazy overproduced thing, And then it's on there. It's cool. There's also like a tour of our office, which I wound up like pulling up on the Quest when we were working remotely at first. And I got all like sad. And I was like, I miss my desk. I miss my friends. This is terrible. But yeah, I don't know. That's out there. I have no idea if it works, but that's, you know, something to check out. Now, JD, you mentioned Wild Hearts.
Yeah.
Did we talk about that? Are either of you playing it?
I do not have the time.
No, I'm going to be pretty... Like, once Resident Evil Village comes out, I'm going to be heads down on that because I am also doing the review for us. So. Okay.
Fun.
Well, let's touch on this. I played a little bit, but I want to hear your thoughts on
this. Yeah, so I'm a big Monster Hunter fan. I've got, I don't know, 3,000 hours into... No, probably like 300 hours into World. 3,000, I mean, I don't know, maybe. Who knows? I've played all the Monster Hunters. Wild Hearts is... I couldn't come up with a better quote than what Tom Mark said in our review. Whereas if, oh my goodness, sincerity is...
It's a great quote.
It was a great quote. What was the quote?
Flattery is the purest form of sincerity. Sincerest form of flattery.
Imitation is the word.
Our job is to write words.
I remember the quote. I'm great, guys. Sorry, Tom Marks. I totally butchered the quote. I'm just gonna blow past it because it's gone. If you want to hear the quote, go watch the video. It's a great video. It's a great review. But no, Wild Hearts is awesome. It's the probably one of the best games to get into the Monster Hunter genre. If you've never played a Monster Hunter game, Wild Hearts borrows a lot of things from Monster Hunter, but simplifies a lot of the more like complex or the things that are just really detailed. Like, you don't have a bunch of items you need to worry about using mid battle. You don't have to worry about, you have like one potion that you just drink for health. You don't have to worry about, oh, I need to drink a hot drink so I can stay warm in the cold areas, or I need to drink a cold drink to stay, you know, cold in the hot in the volcanoes. Like, you don't have to worry about that type of stuff. So it simplifies a lot of those things. You don't have to flip through an item wheel. There's plenty of weapons. The weapons all are a lot of fun. I've been using the bladed Wagasa, which is the parasol type weapon. And it's very focused on like parrying. So like, I do no damage at the start of the fight, but as soon as the enemy attacks me and I get that parry, I can counter for big damage and it builds up a gauge. And as the gauge fills more and more up, there's three stages of it. Each hit does more hits, multiple hits. So I'm basically spinning the parasol out on each hit as I charge it up. I don't know why I have to charge up a parasol to be able to spin it and do more damage, but that's just how the system works in here.
To kill a giant rat that has a walnut for a tail, obviously.
Exactly. There you go. But no, I love the monster variety. So far I fought the rat, the raven, the boar, the a badger, a little like carbuncle mouse thing, and then a rooster. So far.
The four food groups, perfect.
Yeah, you know, gotta get them all in. Part of a healthy diet. But yeah, no, I think it's great. I think the gameplay is fun. There's a lot of creativity that you can do with the building mechanics. The Karakuri is what they're called. You can build a bulwark with like that wall, which will stop rampaging beasts and knock them in the air, knocking them down so you can get some free hits in. It's got a cool upgrade tree to upgrade those. You get like a propeller so you can fly around through the air. There's fireworks to knock out flying enemies out of the air. There's tons of stuff. There's a lot of things to play with. And I was playing with my partner, and your worlds are separate, and where you build all your stuff, like, because you can build zip lines and other stuff all through the world, and they stay there regardless of how much time has passed. But your worlds are separate, so when my partner would join my world, he'd see all my stuff. He's like, oh, I'm copying that because that's a really cool setup. I like how you have your zip line set up. And then I would go to his world and see something like, oh, I really like where you have this little updraft where you can, you know, just climb into the air. But yeah, Max, what are your thoughts? How are you liking it so far?
So I played a little bit of it. I went into this as someone who's, like, Monster Hunter has never clicked for me. It just doesn't do the thing. And I also think it's over-designed. Like, I think they really, really love to just embellish the living hell out of these creatures. And like the armor is just like really, it's gaudy. And some people are into that. Some people really love that.
It's all about the fashion hunter, Max.
Yeah. Some people really love that. And, you know, it doesn't click for me, but I was like, you know, whatever, I'll give it a shot. It was on the EA Play preview thing, whatever, on Xbox. Forgive me for playing that other system. I messed around with it, and I was actually really shocked about how good it felt. Like, mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the combat, the traversal. Like, it kind of just immediately, like, clicked. And it also does something that I really It has maybe my favorite sort of introduction to a game I've seen in quite some time, where it starts and it has like kind of an establishing shot, and then it slowly zooms in, and then it's like you're playing. And
just
it does
go,
the, I mean, it's that like Uncharted thing where it like it just seamlessly moves from like, you know, cutscene to gameplay. In this case, you know, you're playing as a sort of generic character who's you know, scampering around. But it was just it was a really I'm very tired of games talking and not letting me play.
Yeah.
Like, I really like it when they just get out of the way and let me just explore. And this one did a pretty good job of that. And then, of course, it eventually stops down and gives you some, you know, exposition and, you know, dumps you to the character creator and then has you doing those same handful of, like, perfunctory early game tutorial quests, basically.
Yep.
And I messed around with those. And, like, I was surprised at how much fun it was to just beat up these monsters and have a good time with that. And I'm probably not going to stick with it, but, like, I came away, like, you know, pleasantly impressed. So, you know, I'm glad it exists out there. It's also, I mean, what, we just got a big Monster Hunter game. Did Tears? That just come to place?
Monster Hunter Rise, yes. Yeah. Rise just came to the PS4 and Xbox.
But that's like
that's
like
January.
Is that like a half measure? That's not like another mainline? I don't know. I forget.
No, Rise is the next full installment for Monster Hunter. It was a Switch exclusive at the start, and then it went to PC right afterwards, and now it's come to other consoles finally.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is that I'm happy that Monster Hunter fans have something else to play, unless they hate this, in which case, I'm sorry. I don't know what
to
tell
you. Go back to play Monster Hunter.
Yeah, I don't know. It's more monsters for you to hunt and hit and fight that rat with a walnut for a tail. You can just beat him up there.
I chop it off.
Did we lose them? There they are.
No, they're still here.
Hey.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sorry, it cut away from you guys.
You were having too much fun. I didn't
want to
take away.
Yeah, I had nothing to say.
I heard like the Discord noise in my ear there for a second. I was like, oh. Now I have something. We've talked about games that exist that we're playing, and PlayStation VR games that are real. I wanted to play something very stupid really quick. Which is called a new game called what? VR playing? Or no, it's what I was going to call
VR
it.
VR not amused?
VR not amused. Sorry, I'm bad at this. So I've got our big spinny wheel here, the Wheel of Fortune. And it's covered with names of games that do not exist in VR. But let's say they were to get VR components. Let's say you were going to get your Call of the Mountain or your Arkham VR for this game. But the thing is, those VR components are never quite the full thing. There's always this sort of expectation and the reality. Like, we got Final Fantasy 15 in VR. And it was a fishing game. So I want to hear your realistically disappointing pitches for VR games.
Okay.
Simon, should we start with you? You actually you said I will come on the show as long as I get to spin the wheel. Are we?
I love spinning. You know, okay. I love spinning the wheel.
All right, I'm going to spin it. Should I
spin
it?
You know which one of those I want as well.
I know,
well. So
I know.
Let's go.
All right.
I'll just use my telepathic powers or telekinetic powers.
I'll work it.
Bloodborne.
I've played good 20 hours of this game and never finished it. I'm sorry to everyone. A VR Bloodborne. What could you do with that? It's going to be horrible, isn't it? How about you're one of the people, just those poor people in Yharnam, just trapped in their houses, and all you can do is watch the horrors from out of your window. And occasionally someone knocks on your window and says, can I have some blood? And you have to like drain blood from your own body
just
and
pour out the mailbox
to them. Yeah, and then what happens is Predator turns up. And
Predator was on here. You didn't get it. You're cheating.
It's a shame. I have to work in somehow. And it turns out, actually, right at the end of the game, you look in the mirror and you are Predator. And he was in Yharnam all along. He is the oldest of all the hunters.
You know, he is a hunter. I guess
he fits. It tracks.
I'll allow it. I do like that. That is exactly the level of disappointing VRification that I'm thinking. It's like, yo, remember Bloodborne? It's this crazy, amazing world. You can explore it. It's got incredible combat. But what if you were that lady who's having a dinner party and laughing real loud and the hunt's going on outside? You have to have like polite conversation and go, oh, and then you hear like,
it would be called Bloodborne, colon, drained.
You know,
blood boring.
You know what I would like for Bloodborne? I would like to see Power Wash Simulator VR cleaning Yharnam in Bloodborne for
just
Bloodborne VR.
Restore it to its former glory.
Yeah.
All right. Jada, you're up.
VR.
All right. What'd I get?
We got Pro Cycling Manager 2016.
Okay.
Everyone loves that universe.
Pro Cycling Manager.
Take it down a notch.
Yes.
It's the disappointing VR version.
You've all probably seen Ted Lasso. We've talked about it on the show in the past episodes. So this is going to be a VR experience of being just the manager of a pro cycling team. So you're not actually ever going to get on a bicycle except inside the gym when you're just testing the equipment that you've done repairs. So you're going to be going and you're just going to be like the person who is handling all of the repairs for your team's cycling. So you're just going to be there. You have to put the bike chain back on to the bikes. You have to replace the handlebars.
So you're not even the manager. You're just like the yes. team
bike repair shop.
The equipment manager. That's what you are.
Manager. Okay. But that's just one of the characters. And so after, and then you, what you do is you go through the ranks and you level up.
No, I think that's too ambitious. I think it has to be like a 4-hour experience where you just fix the bike chain.
You become the captain of the team or the coach of the team.
I think that's a deeply optimistic view of the career path of bicycle people. All right,
hear me out. Right at the end, you look in your helmet, and in the reflection, you see Predator.
Okay,
Predator.
Yes. I don't think that's a very good Predator if you can see him. I think you see like a little wrinkle in the trees. You're like, I wonder what that was. But you're miles past that at that point. You're going down a big hill. All right, Taylor, you're up.
All right.
Any second now. Ooh. And you have Persona 5.
I had a feeling I was going to get that, although low-key I kind of wanted my friend Peppa Pig. But it's, all right, so for Persona 5, so you know how it has like that very artistic style? It kind of gives me comic book vibes. Imagine you have a VR spinoff game for that, but you're actually drawing your own Persona game, and you have to draw everything from scratch, so even if you have like the worst drawing ever, they're not going to try to use like a neural network or AI or anything to automatically generate what they think you were going for. It's just going to be like, oh yeah, so you drew this stick figure, well now they have a stick figure in Persona.
I love
that
it.
Sounds amazing.
And then right at the end
look. I want to see just and then right at the end it looks like someone else drew it, you know.
Yeah,
you're the you're the Predator. Then,
no, well, we'll get there. You have to wash. Obviously, you have to wash the paintbrushes in a pot of water, and then
there's the VR
tearing up at the side of it. You look in the reflection of the water, and you're Predator.
Well, yeah. I will say this: VR definitely not amused. And there's a clip from the film Predator. For those of you listening at home, that's what's playing on our TV. On that note, I think we did it. I think we did a whole episode of Beyond. I think we'll have to save this for next week and save some treats for then. I don't know. VR certainly a little bit amused.
Yeah.
Jada, Taylor, Simon, thank you so much for hopping on and joining the show. This has been a blast. And we will see you next week. Beyond.
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 Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics, and sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.